Now this morning, the message title is called Exposing the False Grace Gospel. You know, we are to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, we are to do what? Expose them. Yes. And so it's the light that exposes the darkness. It's the truth, amen, that sets people free when they come to a knowledge of the truth. And so if the enemy can rob us from the authenticity, from the truth, then people are going to be living in a lie and sometimes thinking that's their truth. I've lived a lie and thought that was, I called it my truth. Well, to me, it's this way, you know. We've all done that, haven't we? We all had our opinions about stuff. But God's word is forever settled in heaven. God's word will abide forever. And so we've got to go with what God is saying. And my opinion doesn't matter. And so this morning we used the text 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 3 and 4. Talking about the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. And we're certainly living in that age. And I said it this morning, folks, but I believe that it is a damnable heresy that's being presented today as Christianity, as, you know, the truth, where it focuses on the person and not on Christ and his gospel. Are you with me? And it becomes all about you and not about him. You know, folks, when we lived in this world, it was all about us, right? When we come to Christ, it's supposed to be all about him now. And he knows that we have needs and he wants to take care of those things. He wants to take care of us. But he says, take care of my business and I take care of your business. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom, right? So it's about taking care of his business. As we do that, he takes care of our business. And so don't get this mixed around so that it's just about coming to God and asking him for stuff. Because it's not about that. It's about, Father, what can I do for you? You've done everything for me. Now it's my reasonable service, Romans 12, right? To offer my body now back to you as a living sacrifice. What can I do for you now, Lord? I've lived the rest of my life. I've wasted so many years already of just living in vain living. I really want to every day to count. And as you get older, you know what I'm saying? We become more and more aware that very soon, and very soon, we're going to see the King. And so we want to go well. We want to end well. It's not enough to begin well. We have to end well. We have to overcome to the end. And so much of this false grace ministry today, again, is based on self-help and self-improvement. It's just about improving the old life, basically, adding to the old life, improving your life, a better quality of life, a more prosperous life, you know, and that becomes the focus. The focus is of self-improvement and self-quality and self. It's selfish. And if we're selfish, we cannot be the servants of the Lord. Jesus had to deny himself. He came to serve and not to be served. And when we get focused on our needs, which much of the church, unfortunately, has gone in that direction of it just being need-oriented. But actually, the truth is in the gospel is it's not about just meeting needs. Jesus took care of the people. He ministered to the needs of the people, right? But it was only so that he would have an audience. He used that as a way of getting their attention and bearing witness to who he was so that they would listen to what he had to say. It was not the end all, but the people, they thought that was the end all. It's all about being, you know, supernaturally provided for and being blessed. And it's the fishes and the loaves. It really wasn't about the fishes and the loaves. He was trying to get them to look beyond the fishes and the loaves. Amen. To the will and the purpose of God for which they were created. As Jesus would say, you know, you sought me not because you ate. Amen. And you drank. You sought me what? Because of the fishes and the loaves. You sought me because of the temporary pleasure, the temporary convenience and temporary comforts that you received. And not, it wasn't about the purposes, the higher purposes, the eternal purposes of my Father. Is that making sense? Am I making sense? Yeah. And the same thing is true for all of us every day. We have to live our lives very deliberate. You know, we have to make up our mind. We have to determine every day that this day God gave me so that I would live it fully for Him and bear fruit and glorify Him. And as we're faithful in that journey, in that daily walk, God promotes and advances and entrusts us with more. Amen? Because sometimes we're asking God for more, yet we're not doing anything with what we already have. So He's just trying to get He's reeling in people. There's a lot of stragglers, even the body of Christ, that God is bringing back in to the church. Because He wants to do a work, but He needs laborers. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. So we need laborers. Amen. God wants laborers, but it has to be very deliberate. We have to choose to say, Lord, I'm choosing to be your laborer, to be your worker. See, every person, even that was here this morning, needs to understand that they're called to be a worker in God's vineyard. Everyone, every person. It's not for just some, it's for everybody. Some will come and just think it's just for me and what I can get out of it. They're totally missing it. Yes, you're coming here to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. That's the purpose of the fivefold gifts. Amen? So we've got to recalibrate our thinking and be careful, because there's so many voices and so many distractions and even false gospels and false grace gospels being presented today that focuses all on your needs, your desires even, your wants, your pocketbook. Hello. Many people will get angry at the message of the cross. Because I don't want to give up my life. And I don't like what you said, so I'm going to go over here where they tell me what I like to hear. Well, guess what? So each one of us will give an account of ourselves to the Lord. He has been crucified for us. He suffered for us. It caused God much pain, amen, for our salvation. So it's no longer about us, it's about Him. And in the process of taking care of what He wants, He takes care of what you want. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But first and foremost, what? The will of the Father. We're here also to serve. We need to understand something, that tolerating sin is not walking in love. There's a sloppy agape today of just, let's all get together. And I don't care, you can raise your hands, you can shout, you know. And if you have an addiction to nicotine, we can pray for you and set you free, okay? But I want to give you an example. The other day at the courthouse, okay, and this is just how sloppy things are getting. It's National Day of Prayer. You know, there's this guy that's very outspoken. Jesus, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And he's running around with a cigarette, okay? Now, we don't want to focus on the fruit, okay, but we want to get to the root. And the root is this, is that you need to understand that you need to walk in love, okay? You may think it's perfectly okay to do that, but are we really judging ourselves and saying, Lord, what do you say about this? The thing that I allow that is causing others to look at you and say, is that your brand? Is that what it's like to be a Christian? Hey, man, let's go get stoned and go to church. Are you with me? Because that happens too. It becomes this sloppy agape. And God has not changed. God is not sympathetic towards sin. God hates it. Amen? Why? Because we represent Him and He is holy. And so we are to be holy as He is holy. In our life, in our conduct, in our conversation, in our mannerisms, in our character, in our integrity. We need to represent Him in every area of our lives. We need to be truthful, speak only the truth. Amen? We're not to lie as His people. God's intolerance of sin resulted in the death of Jesus. And this is what I wanted to say this morning. God does offer forgiveness of sins that are past. When one prays the sinner's prayer. Amen? But they must be confessed and forsaken. Repentance, again, is not just being sorry. Repentance means I changed my mind. I'm not living that way anymore. I repent of that. I forsake death, I embrace life. I leave darkness, I walk in light. I let the devil, amen, I leave the devil behind and I follow Jesus. Okay. God does offer this forgiveness of past sins. I want you to hear this, though, because this is another thing that's kind of irritated me, and I don't get it. And if you have, and I'm just not getting it, then come talk to me afterwards, not now. But I want you to hear this. There's nothing in the Bible that states when one prays the sinner's prayer that all future sins are also forgiven. Show me in the Word where it says that. You see, that's a doctrine that has been tossed around in the body of Christ, but there's no biblical foundation for that. This is what the Bible says to the church by John the Apostle. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. To say that all my future sins are forgiven is a lie. The truth is not in us. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, present tense, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what? From all unrighteousness. People who refuse to turn from their sins will perish in their sins. The brazen altar represented the judgment of God. It represented the cross in the Old Testament model, amen, of the tabernacle. It's where they would take the whole burnt offering and they'd offer it up to God. It was the entire offering that was given back to God. Are you with me? And the blood would be collected and taken by the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement on behalf of the people's sins, representing the blood of Jesus. Amen. And also Christ being our high priest. That whole offering had to be given over to God. It's not part, it means the whole. How many know that God purchased the whole of us? And so we can't hold back on Him. If any man will save his life, he will lose it. We have to surrender. Like I mentioned this morning, people have to fully step over that threshold. What happens is a lot of people, they hold on lightly, sometimes tightly, to the past or the things of the past or their addictions or whatever, and they're kind of doing the flip-flop thing. You know, I'm kind of in, but I'm kind of not. And they don't get free until they forsake that and they completely plunge into, amen, into life. And they forsake themselves there. They lay their lives down there. They disown themselves there and they allow God to own them now. If any man will come after me, let him disown himself. Or deny, it means to utterly disown yourself. My soul belongs to God now. I've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. I'm not my own. So people who refuse to turn from sin are going to perish. When the Holy Spirit convicts a sinner, folks, He means business. If God is dealing with you about a sin, He means business. God does not want anyone to perish, but He wants all men to do what? To believe the truth and to come to repentance. That's what Peter said. He's not willing that anyone should perish. But that all should come to repentance. Repentance means I'm done. I make the full commitment. I don't just give God lip service. I don't make deals with God. I don't strike a deal with God and say, okay, you give me this, I'll give you that. God says, I want you. You, I have purchased with my own blood. Are you with me? We got to give Him the full thing. And the reason why a lot of folks are not walking in victory is because they want to save themselves. They don't want to lose their life. They're not willing to lay it down and let God decide what they can keep and what they have to give away. There's some things that are idols in our lives, things that we want to hold on to, things that we, in a sense, we're finding, they're artificial security blankets that we're really trusting in. And God may just say, I want you to give all that you have away, like the rich young ruler. Because it was an idol. It was what he trusted in. God's not going to say that to all of us, but he might speak to us and say, I want you to let it all go. Give it all up. Give it to New Horizons. Amen. I heard that. But what does God tell us? Are we willing to give it all to him? Are we willing to do whatever he says? You see, this man was not far from the kingdom. He had kept all the commandments. He said, I've done all this, Lord. What's left to do? If you want to be perfect, you want to be complete, then sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Give it all up. Sacrifice it. Lay it all at the altar and come follow me. Are you willing to step over that threshold into life? Wow. Wow. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and maybe all of you do, but when I went to India and you see the faithfulness of people who have so little, you know, they'll just lay it down, you know. They'll give you what they have so you could be blessed. And what they give you is like nothing to us. I mean, except that we saw the heart and it was valuable then. But, you know, it was kind of like you almost feel I'm unworthy of your offering or your gift. You know, but because they understand the cross, they understand that it's in me letting go of my life that I'm going to find it. And whatever I give to God, he resurrects. Amen. That which he wants to go through the cross, he'll resurrect. If I give God money, amen, because he told me to, guess what? He can resurrect that money that you sowed and he can bring back an abundance into your life. So you can have even more to bless people with, because it's always more blessed to what? To give. And so you see this, the humility of heart and the simplicity of their lives, and yet so faithfully committed to the will of God. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to return, as some count slackness. He but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should, there it is again, to come to repentance. Acts 17:30 and 31, I repeat these a lot, but we need to really understand this is God and this is what he's saying, and we need to get it. Truly, these times of ignorance, of idolatry, God had overlooked in the past, but now, since the time of Christ, since the cross, amen, since Calvary, since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he commands all men everywhere to repent. This is the gospel. Because he has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given us assurance of this. Why? By raising him from the dead. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. The Bible says that the New Jerusalem is going to come literally out of heaven, and it's going to be extended above the earth, the beautiful city of our God, and it's going to be over, I believe, over Jerusalem. That same geographic location is going to be an overlay, and nothing that defiles will be able to go into the city except the redeemed. Amen. And so he says here, blessed are those who what? When we say do his commandments, folks, we're not talking about legalism. We're talking about listening to the voice of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them what? Eternal life. But outside, verse 15, are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. You know, they don't usually last too long in this church, but we have folks that come in here, you know, and they don't blink an eye that they're sleeping, you know, together outside of the marital covenant. And they'll come in here and they'll raise their hands and they'll shout, hallelujah, are you tracking? How many know there's a problem with that? How many know that that kind of worship God does not accept? What God is calling all of us to do first and foremost is to repent. And to fully dedicate, commit our lives to His will, to His purposes, to live now, the rest of our time, for the will of God and not for the will of man. Not for the will of self, but for the will of God. And so there's this thing, and there are churches that are very accommodating to these people because they simply want more numbers on the rolls. Are you with me? So they don't challenge this. They don't make anybody uncomfortable. Well, heaven forbid that we should be politically incorrect or we should be insensitive or intolerant for sin. Do you know that's a lie from the devil, this whole tolerance thing? Just tolerate it. What's happened to our nation? Tolerance by God's people. Tolerance in our own lives primarily because it's in the church. Amen. God's people need to repent. They need to turn from their wicked ways. They need to call on God. Amen. God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to intervene in America, but the church has got to repent. If we don't repent, folks, we can't expect the world to repent. If we're not being an example, they're not going to see, amen, Jesus living out in us, living through us. You heard it said and you know it. We are the living epistles. God's word is written on our hearts. And it's supposed to be manifest, demonstrated through our lives, through the way that we live. And yet, again, it's not a popularity contest. What matters is that I'm popular with God. In Revelation 21:6, he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." This is what Jesus said. And I know, yes, we can theologically explain these scriptures away. People do. But folks, we got to get away from a bias when we come to the Word of God. Amen. We need to say, "Lord, what are you saying? What do you have to say about it?" Not, "I don't really like the way that's worded, so I'm going to kind of tweak it a little bit to make it fit my lifestyle. And so I'll go to a church, you know, that basically just improves my lifestyle or validates my lifestyle." You need to scrap your lifestyle. I need to scrap my lifestyle if my lifestyle isn't His style. If it's not in line with the will of God, it's illegal for us. And the cool thing is this, is if we commit ourselves to the will of God as His kids, God will even bless us with things and give us the desires of our hearts, and He'll even let us dream with Him. It's not like we're robots on remote control, but it is about priorities and making sure that we are serving the King first and foremost, that we are seeking Him and His kingdom above everything else. And as we do that and take care of His stuff, He's going to take care of our stuff. We're not going to be focused on what am I going to do. It's God, what are we going to do together? We're going to walk through this thing together. My God is with me. He's for me and He's in me. And we're going to be able to walk through anything when we walk through the waters. Amen. They're not going to overflow us. Through the fire, we shall not be burned. God is going to be with us in the furnace. Sometimes the will of God is going to lead us into the fiery furnace. Sometimes it's going to lead us into places that are going to be painful in our lives. But are we willing to follow Jesus, amen, in His reproach? Are we willing to meet Him outside the camp, amen, of what the world says is the standard? Are we going to be the standard bearers? Are we going to say the Word of God is the standard for us, amen? My Father's voice is my standard. I'm going to obey Him. Hallelujah, because He's preparing a place. This world is not our home. It's only a short time we have. Let's make the most of it. Let's maximize the moments that we have been given to bear fruit and glorify our Savior and our Father. I mentioned this morning about the comment made about, "I can, you know, cheat on my husband, and And I'll still go to heaven because I'm once saved, I'm always saved. This person was deceived who said that. Ephesians 5, 3 through 5 says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And I'd mentioned earlier that there are many who walk even in the church as enemies of the cross. They're not willing to embrace the call of God for their lives. Instead, they're focusing on earthly things. Jesus rebuked Peter because he thought he was doing the right thing by trying to spare Jesus from the cross. And yet, Peter was actually focusing on earthly things. He was looking through the lens of an earthly man and not God's perspective. We want to spare ourselves, you know. So what happens is we can be like Peter. We can run and we can deny because we want to spare ourselves. And that's why we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we must be clothed in the armor of God. When you're clothed in the armor of God, you have supernatural ability and boldness to be able to stand up when everybody else may be falling around you. You will be able to stand because you're grounded in Him. Amen. You're standing on the firm foundation. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, and in the power of His might, and put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand, right, in the evil day. And how many know that we're living in those days right now? We're living in times when we need to draw near to God. Amen. And be clothed in Him and be armored up every day so that we're not going to be taken captive by the philosophies of men. We're not going to be taken captive by false doctrines, false teachings that put the focus and the emphasis on sparing my own life. I'm finding that the more I give up and the more I just relinquish control to God, the freer I am, the happier I am, the more complete I am. There's joy and there's peace and there's righteousness. Amen. In the kingdom of God, true life, true living is living for God. It's not living for self. When I live for self, it gave me temporary pleasure, but it always left me empty at the end. But living for God is true joy. Hallelujah. Why is it that often we find ourselves, at times we find ourselves feeling empty? Sometimes, folks, it's simply because we're not feeding on Him. We're not abiding in the will of God. Our food, just like Jesus said, is to do. Not just hear, but to do the will of our Father. We've got to put legs to our faith. And as we're doing the will of God, we will find that He satisfies your soul. Amen. What causes Robin and Lauren to do what they do? There are no spring chicks anymore. They'll admit that. Yeah, I know. But it's because it's the love of God that constrains them. And because they're not only knowing what they're supposed to do, they're doing it. And as they do it, they are being refreshed. They are being strengthened. Yes, their physical bodies get tired. We all get physically tired. But we will find our soul is satisfied. And you can lay your head down at the end of the day on your pillow. And you can go into beautiful sleep because you've been in the will of your Father. And He just satisfies you like nobody else. Hallelujah. In Galatians 6 and 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now I know we're here tonight because we love Jesus. And we've already made that decision. We stepped over the threshold. We're saying, Lord, I'm all in. You know, here am I. Use me, you know. But folks, we're confronted every day, you know, with the lies and with the philosophies of men, with false doctrines. And we've got to stand up and we've got to let people know that this is the truth. And speaking the truth will mean at times You will be unpopular. You will even be hated, Jesus said, for my sake. But when they persecute you, when they say all manner of evil against you, even falsely, when they lie about you for my name's sake, then do what? Rejoice and leap for joy. So understand, folks, that when you begin, when you decide to live for the will of God, you know, there's a fiery trial. There's things that come. But the Lord's grace is sufficient in every situation that He calls us to. And I'm going to finish with this because you've heard this before, but there's a plaque I used to have. I think I still have it somewhere. But it says, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. So when you're in the will of God, the grace of God will be sufficient. I have another one. It's on my file cabinet up in my room, and it says, God's grace is like the widow's oil. As long as you keep pouring it, it'll never run out. And that's what happened, wasn't it? Fill the pots. And as long as it was until they ran out of pots that the oil dried up. Amen. When the prophet called, it was Elijah. And she began to pour the oil. Well, our lives are like that clay jar. And God's put divine treasure in us, and He's going to give us assignment. He's going to give us something to do that's going to be out of our comfort zone. But as you step out and you do what He says, you'll find all of a sudden there'll be a release of that. You will be fed. You'll be satisfied in that. God's will be accomplished, whether it's good or evil, whatever. I mean, saying in the sense that it might have a negative reaction from a person. All right? God doesn't do evil, but evil people will react sometimes to God's truth. However, even as it was in the days of Jeremiah, God said, you tell them what I tell you to say, whether they will hear you or not. Because the time will come when God begins to judge the people, and He's judging America, are you hearing me? That they will remember the word of the Lord when it came to them then. So we speak the truth in love. We look for opportunities. Listen to the voice of God. He's going to send you to people in your daily life. Whether it's a kind deed, a word, a prayer, whatever it is, He's just going to tell you to do something, to pray for somebody, right? For healing. Often God will work that way, and then God will demonstrate, amen, His power and His love for someone, and then they're going to want to know more about our Jesus. But we've got to step out of the boat and just do what God said. Well, I can't heal anybody. I've never done that before. Well, just do what He says. It's right. We can't do what He calls us to do. It's not of us. We just got to obey and say, okay, Lord, I'm taking the risk. That's why God looks around. His eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth. Amen. He's looking for those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Who are there saying, okay, yes, Lord. I'm a yes man when it comes to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Should be our, amen, our response. I don't understand it. It's kind of scary, but if you want me to do it, Lord, it's yes. Amen, God, get her done. Amen. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be part of your family and allowing us to be part of the will of God, the work of God in these last days. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight to hear these things, to be reminded again, Lord, of our responsibility to you now, that as you have redeemed us and brought us out, you want to bring us in with you too. And to meet you there, Lord, outside the camp, even to bear your reproach. But to meet you also outside of the boat, Lord, onto the waters where you are, that we may walk successfully with you, Lord, on the waters, that we will see the miracles of our God. Lord God, we believe that you want to manifest your way, your intangible ways, Lord, your will in tangible ways, that you want to reveal your glory, and you want to use us for that. And right where you're at tonight, maybe you just need to say, Lord, once again, I'm in. Lord, here am I. Open my eyes to the opportunities you give me every day. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Give me the wisdom. Give me the words to speak. Give me the understanding of what I need to do. even as you're working in me both to will and to do. Lord, give me that unction. Inspire my zeal for you, Lord, that your zeal will consume me, your love will consume me. Lord God, that I will not walk in fear, but I'll walk in faith. I'll walk in the love, the perfect love of my Father. Oh, Lord, more love, more power, more of you in my life. Would you stand tonight? I just feel like that would probably be a really good way.